G'day, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. Today I want to talk about personal branding, self-development, self-awareness, consciousness, as it relates to leadership. We are all leaders, whether we lead one person in this world or whether we lead a million, it's not important. We lead. And the secrets to leadership, whether it's one, 1,000 or a million, are exactly the same. Firstly, let's define leadership. Leadership is by definition, I am going somewhere and I will guide you to come with me. Now, leadership can't be collaborative. I starts with I am going somewhere and I will guide you to come with me. But what if the people don't want to go with you? Then your leadership is poor. Because the first job in all leadership is to know where you're going. The second job in leadership is to be able to sell where you're going to those who you want to follow you. Sales, marketing, is the core of leadership. If a leader can't market themselves, can't sell themselves, can't sell their vision, can't sell what they're doing, can't breed trust in people, can't breed a sense of faith in themselves to others, the leader can't lead. So there's no use twiddling your thumbs and going, why do I only lead three people when I could lead a million? The answer is, you're just not good at sales. The second part of this is to say, if I'm not good at sales, why? And the answer is usually, from my experience with coaching people, is you don't believe in the thing you're saying you're going to go to. So for example, if I said I was going to the bottom of the ocean next year, and I'd like you to follow me to the bottom of the ocean, to take a diving bell and go to the bottom of the ocean, and I'd like you to follow. In other words, I'm creating a business, I'm the owner of the business selling seats on a diving bell to go to the bottom of the ocean next year. That's my business. And I start flogging this to you. I start saying, well, it's, you know, only 10 people will go and it's really deep and it's really amazing and you'll see things no one else has ever seen before. And I start selling it to you. At some point, when you're looking for me to give you a reason to go, I run out of reasons for you to go, which really says I don't believe in it. I'm not inspired by it. It is not true. I am faking it. What I'm doing is building a business that makes me money. And there's a point where a business that makes you money is just not enough to be a leadership. Leadership, if you're leading if you're an employee, leadership needs to be that you believe in the company that you work for so much that you want to take something that you've got, a product or a service that you deliver within that business, to the betterment of the company you work for. But most people I meet who I don't coach would say, I want you to follow me because it's bloody good for me, because that will get me more pay and it will get me a better job and it will get me where I want to go and it'll get me. And so there is no true core inspiration in the product or service that you're delivering. We must be mindful of this. Once upon a time in the world, when we had something made, a jacket or a t-shirt or a pair of shoes, we would go and meet the tailor, we'd go and meet the shoemaker, and their personality was important to us because their energy and everything that they stood for and their family and everything they worked for was embedded in the garment. Of course, we can't do that now because unless you're a trillionaire, most of us buy our clothes off the rack. And we don't know where they've come from. We don't know. We might say they come from a country, but we don't know from whose hands they come from. So it can be we pick up a garment, really like it, even though it doesn't suit us, we buy it because we feel good about that garment. We feel the energy of it. Well, this still exists in leadership. If a leader is in love and loves what they do and does what they love with the product they're serving, to that they're building, and they love the company they're building it for, then it is automatic. It's automatic they'll be a leader because that's the energy that we talk about when we bought shoes or a garment. That's the energy that we want to be around. We want to be around people who are going somewhere where we want to be. And we want to be with someone who loves the company and loves the product and loves the service they're delivering and loves and feels entitled enough to deserve to be in an environment where they're doing what they love and loving what they do, and will defend their personal brand strong enough to sustain that trajectory. We want to be with that person. I take people, or used to take people more often than I do now, but I used to take people to the Himalayas, and I led the trek. I led 57 trips up into the mountains, way up near Mount Everest Base Camp. There were some people who hated being led, but they didn't know where they were going. And so they had this conflict. Here's a guy, I've paid him tens of thousands of dollars to be in Nepal. He's my leader, but I hate being led, but I can't get to where I'm going without him. And these people would grumpy and grumpy along the trail, and they would be grumpy with themselves, not with me. They'd be grumpy with themselves to say, why am I with this person? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to do this? And they get grumpy, and they would eat too much, and they would stumble on the trail, and they'd be entirely dissatisfied, even though they had spent 6 months preparing for a trip to the high mountains and doing something that was on way and truly on their last 24-hour list. They were doing it and activating it, and yet they didn't want to be led. And I recognized this very early on, about, I don't know, track number 20. And I recognized there were a number of people in each group of 10 to 12 people. There are a number of people in each group who didn't like me. They didn't like the leader. And I thought, well, I have to convince these people to get over it. And that's for the first 20 treks. After 20 treks, I realized that I had become comfortable as a leader of a trek, and I'd forgotten to inspire myself about the journey ahead. And for me, it was a little bit like Groundhog Day. Here we go again, up the same mountain with the same grumpy people, with a bunch of happy people, a bunch of sad people going up the mountain, blah, 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 blah. I had to find a new inspiration. I had to reawaken the feeling I had on the first trip. And I realized that they weren't grumpy at me being a leader. They were grumpy because we were equal. They were grumpy because I was acting like I was their buddy in the trip. I was their colleague, and I was letting the leadership run itself. But finally I go, you know what? I have to reinvent this. I have to reinvent myself. When you reinvent yourself, that's a big job. You reinvent your thought process, you reinvent your cellular structure, you reinvent the clothes you wear, you reinvent your priorities in life, you reinvent your vision, you reinvent your self-talk, and you reinvent the result you want. We've talked about that in the first week. And so I had to reinvent my entire self. Why am I leading these people up to base camp, up to Sagarmatha, Mount Everest? Why am I going there? What do I love about this? What do I love? And re-engage myself in my own inspiration and become purposeful in what I was there for. Instead of saying, I'm there to take these people up there, which became like managerial, I had to remind myself, what's in this for me? Why am I doing this? And it had to be more than the first trip. So in other words, my vision, my inspiration, my purpose for being there had to evolve to the next level up. And I searched and I racked my brain and I donated money and I became friends with people, and I searched on that trip, that 20th trip, why am I here? And I could only think it's my purpose to help people grow and help people learn and help people, but what's in it for me? When you say purpose, you talk about what you do for others, and that's a wonderful thing. That gives you a sense of community and a sense of duty. But why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I in the Himalayas? Why do I keep coming back up here? I've learnt things, I've studied things. There's nothing new here for me. And this is a very, very dark moment. I think it's a very dark moment in every leader's life when they suddenly say, it's Groundhog Day. And we have to reinvent ourselves. But the first thing we have to reinvent is a new level of why. Because yesterday's why has a use-by date. Time release. I make time release jokes, you know. I tell the joke today and people laugh tomorrow and they don't know why. But in the Himalayas, I had to reinvent why I was getting up there. And I came up with a really simple answer. I needed to grow my entitlement. I needed to feel entitled to talk to the world about what I talk about. And every time I went back to the mountain, I got a new dose, if you want to call it that, or a new level of, or a new awareness of my entitlement to share what I share, the universal laws. And last year's trip was never sufficed for this year. I had to go back and keep being reminded of the gift that I was given and how big it can be. And each time I went, I met people who'd done bigger and bigger things in the world, and I was able to share the work of the universal laws way bigger than I ever did before. And I recognized that somewhere up in there was a transformation that I took place each time. And so I became inspired about this opportunity that I had to go and do the work I love, in the place I love, with the business I love, and the mountain that I love, and feel re-entitled. And all of a sudden, those grumpy people who didn't like being led didn't have a care about it. They jumped on board, because I don't believe you can give what you haven't got. So many leaders try to do that. So many parents. I meet parents, you know, it's really important for me to say this, and they say, I don't know why my kids won't listen to me. They're always playing up. And I think to myself, have you listened to yourself? Then I say to the parent, what are you doing with your life? Oh, well, I got a job and, you know, it's really hard. We're paying off the mortgage. I said, geez, no wonder the kids aren't listening. If you talk to me like that and said, do what I say or do what I do, I'd say, piss off. I mean, nothing affects the child more than the unlived life of the parent. Nothing affects the child more than the unlived life of the parent. Put that on your coffee cup. And then ask yourself, what am I going to do in the last 24 hours of my life? And think, if there's nothing on that list, nothing affects the child more than your unfulfilled list of your last 24 hours. Leadership 101. It comes from the inspiration of an inspired heart who knows why it's going somewhere, and it knows what it's doing there, and it knows when it wants to do it, and it has a sense of urgency and a sense of pressure that's coming up going, I really am so friggin' happy to be doing this because this is what I love doing. And oh, by the way, you want to follow? And people will say, absolutely.